Paul and Bibby.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're having some fun today, and that's not unexpected, because the Golden State Warriors took it to a new level last night. It's one thing to be optimistic. It's another to get off to a good start. Changes the tone of the whole season when then you get your first real big measuring stick and you pass with flying colors. That's what the Warriors did last night. Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Glad you're with us. And let's go out to one of the people who obviously we know very well in the hoops world and was on the call last night with ESPN, Jay Billis, on the River Islands guest line. Jay, thanks for coming on. What were your impressions for measuring stick night for the Warriors?
I thought the Warriors played really well. It's a really, really outstanding defensive team, and very different from the team I think we all saw last year. They can really guard the ball. They did a great job, I thought, game plan wise, trapping Jason Tatum in the first half, getting the ball out of his hands, and they forced him left a lot. And I thought did a really good job, and they were good on the boards. They took care of the ball for the most part. Look, the first probably seven games that Golden State played were not a murderer's row. I was playing against some rebuilding teams and teams that haven't been quite as successful. So I agree with you, it was a measuring stick. But, I do think that things would have been more difficult if Jalen Brown had played and Kristaps Porzingis was in the lineup. That makes Boston that much better. And that's one of the reasons they're, sort of the lead contender to win it again. But I think it was really positive for Golden State. They're very, very good.
The Warriors with a little bit of that November college basketball vibe in that they're playing 11, if not 12 guys at times. What do you make of that deep rotation that Steve Kerr is going to?
I think because he's got some interchangeable parts, and he can swap out Trayce Jackson-Davis for Kevon Looney, have a lob threat and Davis, and then bring in more of an offensive rebounder and a seasoned defender in Looney, gives them some flexibility. It takes Draymond Green doesn't have to play the five. He can play the four, which I think is a lot easier on him. It makes him more effective and more of a playmaker. But they have some interchangeable parts in different areas, and having Buddy Hield play sort of Robin to Curry's Batman is kind of nice. Where you got a guy that can knock down. He's not quite Klay Thompson, but he's a pretty good. He's pretty close, and he's just not the defender that Klay was for Golden State. But they got a lot of things to be excited about. You do wonder if there's going to be something, in the future that could offer them another big time player that might be able to help get them a little bit closer to winning it in the Steph Curry window. But boy, what you saw was impressive. And like your point about playing so many people, I think they can continue to do it because it gives them so much defensive energy without wearing down their core group of guys.
Jay Billis with us. Jay, I think what you just touched on is the question that's only going to grow throughout the season, which is they can look really good, but there's also this looming idea of this roster is set up for a trade, and therefore maybe they can get an even bigger name in. My question to you, I guess, is do you see them projecting as needing that? They're definitely good, but do they need something that's a little more devastating to potentially actually being a May or a June competitor?
Well, I mean, to be in the conference finals, you could see that happening if things, if they stay healthy. But, playing this way for 82 games, I think they can do it and be very, very successful. I think the question is, if you're gonna win a seven game series in the conference finals, do you need a little bit more? And I think the answer probably is yes, to feel comfortable about that. And to do it, while Steph Curry, I mean, the end is closer than the beginning is now for Curry, even though he's at the top of his game and he's in great shape and playing extraordinarily well. If you want to give that opportunity in this window, it's worth considering. It depends what's out there and what it's going to cost. Things are difficult with his second apron business. So it's a lot on the plate of Mike Dunleavy Jr. and his staff to try to figure it out. But they got a chance now. But I just don't know that it's a NBA Finals chance. I think that's a little bit more of an open question. There's a long way to go.
A long, long way to go, and I can't help but think about where you are right now in Lawrence, Kansas, and a Warrior who played in Lawrence, Kansas, who might be that second star. Can Andrew Wiggins get back to that level where he was a couple of years ago and eventually be that second star for a team that is a championship contender?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to do it every night, especially with Buddy Hield there now. And I think the last three games, you know, he was out two games. I think it was two straight games with what was his back or something, and he hadn't looked quite the same yet. But defensively, he did. I thought he did a great job when he was on Jason Tatum last night. But he offensively didn't look like himself. I mean, I think there was a stretch there before the second half that over the last two and a half games going in the second half last night, he was like 4 of 21, and that's not him. He's much more efficient than that. But I tend to think it was because of him being out, and it's taken him a little while to feel like himself, or at least that's what it looked like to me from the sidelines. But yeah, he's an important piece to the Golden State puzzle. But if you add another kind of star caliber player to that crew that's a little bit older, and a veteran, maybe it's the right thing to do. I don't think it's the only way to go about it, but it's certainly worth considering. I think every team, not every team, I don't think Boston's looking to do anything, but there are a number of teams that are out there looking to upgrade. But when you've got somebody like Steph Curry, it gives you a chance to do something special. And you want to try to give him, every opportunity to do that. And if you can put somebody alongside him that gets you that much closer, I think you have to consider it.
Jay Billis, ESPN, he was on the call for the Warriors-Celtics game last night with us here with Wilson and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Jay, what do you think the ceiling is for Jonathan Kuminga?
I think he's a future All-Star. He's still so young. He came from the G League Ignite, but he's so explosive, I thought he was, fantastic in overtime in that Houston game. I think they were up 31 at one point. That game wound up getting taken to overtime, but if I remember right, watching the game, he must have scored 6 of the 8 points that that Golden State had in that overtime. But he's very capable. Is this the time for him? Can he be the guy that helps Steph, get another championship? Being that young, I think it's an open question when you get to playoff time.
Can you develop, and this is not just JK, but any player, can you develop things like basketball acumen and feel and awareness? Are those things innate, Jay, or are those skills that you can develop just by going out there and playing more?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there are some players that have an innate understanding of the game, and instead of looking, they actually see ahead of the play. That happens. There are guys with better basketball IQs generally, but you can certainly learn and get better. And I think with that system that they run with all the passing, cutting, I mean, I'm not sure there's a team in the NBA that throws more passes in a game than sets more screens in a game than Golden State does. And you're certainly going to learn the more you're in it. I mean, look how Draymond Green, who has got an extraordinarily high basketball IQ, from my time covering him in college and watching him in the NBA, I would put him on the highest tier of basketball IQ. Even his understanding of the nuances of the game have grown. Even in the last several years, it keeps getting better and better. So of course that's going to happen with Kuminga. But I wouldn't put him on the same plane at this stage of his career even though he's younger, to be a third-year guy than what Draymond was as a third-year guy.
Jay, I want to go back to something you said earlier when, and I'm paraphrasing, but you kind of referred to Buddy Hield as like Klay Thompson light, certainly on the offensive end, but not as good as what Klay used to be defensively. That's kind of the nature of my question, because Klay's coming to town next week. There's still a lot of emotions about how the way things all went down. Let's not talk about who Klay used to be. What about what he is now? And how do you compare what Buddy Hield does now to what Klay does now?
I think they're very similar, and they're both really good sort of catch-and-shoot guys. And that doesn't mean there's not movement to when they catch and shoot. They both get the ball off really quickly, and they both have great range. But, heck, over the last 5 years, Buddy Hield has made more threes than Steph Curry's made, and Steph Curry's made a lot. So, you know, he's a weapon out there on the offensive end. Klay was different defensively than a lot of guards that can shoot it, and there aren't many that can shoot it like Klay. But when he came out of Washington State, I remember thinking, as well as he can shoot it, I actually thought his grit and defense was every bit as important as his shooting ability. And, you know, I don't know, when you said, you know, there's going to be a lot of emotions, I hope the emotions are positive, because, you know, I kind of look at that as, I mean, he's a treasure for Golden State. Whether he's wearing that uniform or not, for all the things he accomplished when he was there and what he was an integral part of. I kind of look at it, not to go all old school, but like, you know, when Willie Mays left the Giants to go back with the Mets, you know, I can't imagine Giants fans looked at him as a Met. He's always a Giant. And I would hope that Warrior fans look at Klay. He's always a Warrior.
Yeah, we don't do that out here, Jay. I mean, you've been out here enough to know that we're a kinder, gentler people out here in California, especially Northern California. So I would imagine he's going to be showered with praise and emotion and a standing ovation out here.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing that, because he's he's a great guy, yeah, in addition to being an unbelievable player and competitor. So I'm glad to hear that.
You were mentioning grit, and I couldn't help but think about Draymond Green. And, you know, you mentioned Steph on the back nine of his career, and Draymond is right there with him. When you watch Draymond play, do you marvel at just what he's able to do defensively at his relatively short stature?
I've always marveled at Draymond Green. He was a winner at the highest level in college when he was at Michigan State. And honestly, I didn't really understand when he was playing for Tom Izzo the kind of impact that he could have on an NBA team. I thought he could make an NBA team, but I didn't foresee this. I just didn't see it. And that may be a failing of me, but when I watch him and have watched him over the years, I marvel at him. I think you use that term, marvel. I'm in awe of him as a player. And I think he's one of the best defenders that's ever lived and ever played the game. And I mean, I'm sure you guys watched it, but when I was watching Golden State play New Orleans, and I know New Orleans was a little shorthanded, but without Trey Murphy and all that stuff, but the job he did on Zion Williamson, he's the only one in the league that can do that.
Yep.
He's the only one in the league. Nobody handles him like that. And he does that to players throughout the league. It's just stunning. And some of the passes he threw against Boston were just kind of next level things. He's got a magnificent understanding of the game. And people get caught up in some of the stuff he's done over the years, or, you know, maybe he gets technicals and all that stuff. I get it, but they're missing the bigger picture if they're even thinking about that. He's one of the players, honestly, that I've respected the most in the time I've been covering the game. It's been, honestly, it's a joy to watch him play.
Oof, that's a big statement. Love that. Jay Billis is with us here on Willard and Dibbs. And obviously, Draymond is the leader of the defense. You mentioned earlier that it's a very good defensive team, and we're trying to figure out how they've taken such a big leap from last year to this year. And I wonder to what level you think that Jerry Stackhouse, especially as two guys with your North Carolina State roots, like – To what level do you think Jerry Stackhouse, who's kind of running the defense for this squad, has something to do with that?
I think it's been really helpful. And, you know, Steve Kerr said that he wanted to, he's always had kind of former players on his staff, and they'd moved on. Willie Green was one of them, and they'd moved on, and he wanted a former player. And obviously having a former All-Star who is a great player, it adds even more credibility, but the defense is different. And I'm sure that the Warriors feel like part of its personnel, that the personnel is different. They've got so many, you know, athletic guys that can switch and that can really guard the ball. And, you know, they won that game without Brandon Podziemski, yep. who was ill and couldn't play. I mean, heck, he led the league in charges last year. So, you know, that takes another defender out that they would have had in there. But it just really impressive how they make really good decisions. They communicate. They fly all over the place. It's not a team that's got a ton of margin for error. I didn't really get a chance to listen to Steve Kerr's press conference, but, you know, I heard something about, you know, like when Steph Curry threw that long pass away, you know, Steve called the timeout. He looked pretty upset about it. And, you know, they can't have stuff like that. They can't afford to throw it around. Maybe a few years ago when they could score 125 points falling out of bed, that might have been okay. But now, you know, they've got to bring that defense every night. That's a difference maker for them, and the way they guard the line. But staying out of being able to guard the ball is huge because it keeps you out of rotation. And that was really impressive against I think Boston's a great team, even without Jaylen Brown. And that was a huge win, I think, a big confidence boost that they're doing all the right things.
No doubt. Fans out here are like, wait a minute. We think maybe we got something out here. Jay, what a treat to have you on, man. Thank you so much for doing it.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, there it is. Jay Billis, ESPN, on the call last night. Dubs over the Celtics in a game changer.